Our next guest wrote an op-ed, really interesting, too, stating that the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, known as DEEP, recently released its operational plan that outlines the current guidelines for use of state park grounds, trails, beaches, boat launches, and other areas. And, of course, you can check this out online. It's on the DEEP website. We want to bring in State Senator Craig Minor. Craig, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, buddy? Nice to hear from you.
Nice to hear from you. I'm okay.
Good, good. Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about this op-ed here that that I see that you'd written recently. The guidelines a little strict?
Well, I think they're hard for people to understand in terms of why they are needed and what kind of drives the agency to develop such guidelines. There doesn't seem to be a consistency. For instance, if you want to bring a picnic table to a state park or a fold-out table, you can bring it and sit there and eat. Yet if they were to have left one of the picnic tables that was well more than 6 feet from another picnic table, they thought that was a danger. So I don't quite understand, neither do other people.
Well, there's no consistency here. Regarding beaches, because as you know, Memorial Day, we had a beautiful Sunday anyways. It was really nice. Great beach day yesterday, even today, nice beach day. But, you know, we've heard about 6 feet of distancing, but at the beach, it's 15 feet. And while I wasn't expecting there to be, you know, typically when you go to the beaches, you see one blanket after another, after another, after another. My goodness, you could yawn while laying on your blanket and extend your arms a little bit and you could be punching the person on the next blanket and knocking them right out. I wasn't expecting anybody to be that close, but 15 feet seems to be quite excessive. Do you agree?
So using your example, if you were on the end of your blanket and you needed to be 6 feet from the other person, someone might say, well, 6 feet from me to you is six, and 6 feet from you to me is the same six. What the state has done is they've required both of us to have a six-foot distance, that's 12, and then a three-foot walkway. Again, there's nothing in the guidelines. The CDC talks about being within 6 feet for more than 15 minutes. So it's within 6 feet for more than 15 minutes if someone is COVID positive. It's a risk to other people. It doesn't say anything about 15 feet, so it seems arbitrary.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly they could reduce the number of automobiles that they allow into a park that would de facto create more distancing between blankets. But it almost seems to be an add-on. In every case, it's a very strict guideline plus. So there's a plus up. And for those that have paid not voluntarily, but paid on the registration of their automobile for some years now to use Connecticut's forests and parks.
Mm-hmm. The Pathway to the Parks program is what you're referencing.
Right. In this case now, they're actually paying for that theoretical benefit and getting a smaller return. A, not sure you can get in because of the reduced numbers, mm-hmm. and B, even if you do get in, you can't go in the water or you can't sit at a picnic table.
It was to my knowledge that there are no cases of the coronavirus being spread outside. As a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons why Governor Ned Lamont in this first phase was allowing outdoor dining. And even then, it's certainly not 15 feet between you and the person at the table next to you. Why are these restrictions so much heightened than they would be at an outdoor dining venue?
You got me, Gary. I had actually sent a picture of a portable toilet that had been pushed over into Mohawk State Pond. And When I sent that to one of the gentlemen that works for the DEP, I got a response saying that he'd like to talk to me about upcoming recommendations for park use. And I said, put it in an email, and he never sent an email. So there's been no outreach, to my mind, to the Environment Committee. Certainly they haven't engaged the Sportsman's Caucus. My guess is they probably communicated with Connecticut Forests and Parks, but my experience with Connecticut Forests and Parks is generally they're the front people for the agency, and so if the agency says jump, they just say where, when, and how high.
Oh, man. How is this enforced? Or well, is it even enforceable?
That's another interesting question. I can only imagine that the enforcement arm would be conservation officers or NCON officers for the DEP. And there are, to my understanding, maybe 60 of them covering the whole state. Primary mission of those folks is to oversee game laws to make sure that people aren't catching too many striped bass or fishing without a license or any number of things, hunting illegally. And so now we're going to, I guess, charge those individuals with coming in and giving someone a ticket of some kind for doing something, wading in the water. I don't know what constitutes swimming. I don't know whether wading out up to your waist constitutes swimming or it doesn't. But I guess when somebody gets a ticket, we'll find out. Instead of doing game enforcement, instead of doing voter safety enforcement, instead of doing other things, now they're going to have to police whether or not somebody's blanket is within that 15-foot setback.
The beach cops, huh? The beach cops are going to be out. I know the water's freezing right now. How long will... Is this part of the phase one? Like in phase two, which is approximately June 20th, of course, that date is subject to change. Will those restrictions be, if not lifted, at least a little moderated in the second phase?
So over the holiday weekend, I was watching the news, and I can't remember which channel it was, but I thought someone made reference to the fact that the agency was really eyeing the possibility that these inshore lakes and ponds with beaches would have a summer-long restriction of no swimming. Now, no one from the agency has specifically said that yet that I'm aware of. I don't know whether that's something somebody kind of muttered to someone, but part of what I'm hearing from people is, to your point, when the water is 60 degrees, there's probably a small group of individuals that will enjoy it. They'll go in for a dip. Mm. Many will go in and cool off. But the idea of people not being able to enjoy a swimming area, even in restricted numbers, is just going to send them somewhere else. So instead of them being at Lake Warmog or Squanch Pond or one of the others, they're going to be running up and down the Housatonic River in every pull-off that there is and jumping in the Housatonic River, which is moving water and far less safe.
Oh, boy. So when you talk to your constituents, I know you're up in Litchfield County, and where there's a lot of sportsmen up there. There's a lot of people who like to hunt and take in the outdoors. What do your constituents tell you? How is it impacting their lives?
So I've had a couple of constituents send me videos of trailheads. So whether it's a trailhead for the Appalachian Trail or one of the other marked trails in the state, showing in one case, I think I counted 72 cars along a state roadway. And so what they're saying to me is if the DEP believes reducing the number of individuals in state parks is serving a purpose, this is the evidence that we would argue shows that it's not. When people are able to choose between staying indoors in their condo, their apartment, or their single-family house, or going out of doors, if they can't get into a state park, they're going to go somewhere else. And when they go somewhere else, if you might imagine the Blue Trail, for instance, people are passing each other in a 3 foot or
less
trailway.
Yep, I was just thinking that. Yep.
Not good for the environment. Not good for the people if you believe you should be 6 feet apart. And so, I'm afraid the administration, I guess, and this goes back to the governor, the governor's been able to keep people's attention for a certain period of time, and I give him credit for that. They've remained focused on trying to bend the curve, reduce the number of people in the hospital. I get it. I would say they've done a pretty good job with that. But to imagine that all summer people are going to be restricted in some way from getting outside, I think there's going to be a revolt or at least people are going to say, you know what, I understand the rules, but I'm going for a swim.
Yeah, and you know what? Catch me. You know,
well, and that's the problem. And I might argue that people that probably don't swim well might choose to take up some flotation device just because it's not swimming.
Right. Oh, that's a good point. Sure.
They put their feet and their hands in the water and they're out floating around. The next thing you know, something happens and they're in the water way over their head.
Yeah, but that's not, you're right. That's not swimming.
Right.
What are other states, our surrounding states? Let's look at New York State or Massachusetts. What are they doing?
I think they're all trying to find their way. Some of them have actually put restrictions on out-of-staters. And
I think
there have been constitutional challenges to that already.
That's right. Rhode Island tried that route, right.
Yeah, yep. I doubt very much that would pass muster if someone actually brought a claim. So I think all the states are going through this exercise of how far do we think we want to open up and when. And so, I don't know whether we're on par. I know in farther northern states, they put restrictions on out-of-staters that you've got to be there for at least 2 weeks and you can't come until after the middle of, I think, June.
Yeah.
So in areas where people would historically be up there somewhere in May, out-of-staters have generally been asked not to come. In fact, there's no lodging available to them. And my understanding is in Vermont, New Hampshire, maybe, and even in Maine, it's going to be loosened a little bit in the month of June, and then further, I think, in July. So it's a challenge for everyone.
All right, so Craig, let's say I'm in violation. Now, do I get a slap on the wrist, or what are they fining me?
Well, I don't know. I saw something about $75, but I don't know if that's the case or not. I suspect that some people, will probably get a stern talking to, and they'll be asked to get out of the water. And, if that's what happens, probably the constable will go on his or her way, and life will go on. But I don't know what happens on the second offense. But nobody said, I'm sure Governor Lamont would say, well, we don't plan on issuing anyone a summons, even though I've not heard him specifically address the issue. Or the commissioner of the DEP, by the way. I've not heard her mention it either.
Well, and that was actually going to be my next question. What communication have you had? Are you still the ranking senator on in environment, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I know Steve Harding is ranking in the House still.
Yes, he is.
Yep. Okay. And I don't know who this commissioner. I remember when I was with you, it was Bob Klee. I remember that. Who is this new commissioner, and what is your relationship like with this individual?
It's Commissioner Katie Dykes, and she has been very willing prior to the onset of COVID to be out in the community, visiting sportsmen's clubs and fishing clubs. And, it's been very good, I would say, in terms of her relationship. I would say also that I'm hearing from people that they are, developing a bit of a concern because that outreach has diminished significantly. Mm. Now that may be because she's got a lot of things on her plate. As does the administration. So I would say that at least early on, I think she made a very good effort to get out and meet all of her constituents in the outdoor community, and I expect that she'll continue to do that. But during this period of time, there seems to be less of that, because I'm sure that there would have been less concern being voiced to me by outdoorsmen and women had there been more communication on the front end.
Yeah, and that's where I'm a little surprised with. I'm surprised that a person who, you know, you had or not just you, but people for the most part on the Environment Committee has a pretty easy and accessible rapport, and all of a sudden that gets shut off. I'm just wondering if that's from the top down, if that's from the governor himself, and or there's, I don't know. I can't even speculate.
You know, yeah, I don't know the answer to that question. I say to people that it seems to me that there are very, very serious issues having to do with COVID, depending on your age and depending on DNA, it strikes you in very different ways. So I don't doubt one bit that the governor is taking any relaxation of the rules very seriously, because I don't think he wants to be faced with further restrictions once they've been opened up. If this was just a temporary, let's see how this goes for Memorial Day thing, I would argue, I guess, that the weather was not necessarily conducive to beach weather up in the northwest corner, so the numbers were pretty limited. I suspect that people are still unsure about the environment and unsure about who they're sitting next to, walking next to, and so on. I noticed it in the grocery store, so I can only imagine it would be like that in the out of doors. But I think people are very concerned that if there's not some relaxation of these restrictions going into the summer, it's going to become a problem.
Well, exactly. And not...